A lot of evangelical Christian families have queer people they love and no real framework for how to include them. So what happens is like this strange middle space. Like nobody says, you're not welcome, but nobody knows how to quite talk about their life either. You're invited to Christmas, but your future partner never gets imagined out loud. Your siblings' relationships become sort of family history, family stories, family lore, things that people kind of start laughing and talk about here and there over time. They just become like these stories that people talk about. Yours becomes a topic that everyone carefully avoids while aggressively buttering rolls. Yeah. And after enough years, queer people notice the difference between being invited into a room and being fully woven into a family. I'm Paul Cram, actor, storyteller, and the gay son, brother, and uncle whose life often felt emotionally adjacent to the family instead of fully incorporated into it. And this episode is for Christian evangelical families. Not trying to shame them. I'm not trying to pick a theological fight in this video. I am trying to talk honestly about the difference between tolerance and belonging. And I believe that most families don't intend harm, but intention doesn't always determine impact. When I say make space, I don't mean agreement on every belief. I mean emotional inclusion, curiosity, warmth, and the willingness to let someone's full life be visible in the family system. What I'm talking about is not theology first, it's behavior. I do want to say something carefully here. A lot of families think acceptance is measured by the absence of hostility. Like, we didn't kick you out. We still invite you over. We're trying. Okay, cool. Gold star for clearing the lowest possible bar in Mario Kart Christianity. But here's the thing. Human beings need more than non-hostility. Human beings need belonging. Human beings need belonging is active. Belonging sounds a bit like, hey, bring your partner. We saved you both a seat. Tell us about your trip. How is your life going? We're glad that you're here with us. Can't wait to hear about what's happening like in your whole big life. Straight family members usually receive this like automatically. Nobody emails a straight sibling before Thanksgiving and says, now remember, we love you, but we'd prefer not to hear too much about this whole heterosexual situation. It sounds ridiculous, right? But queer family members are often grow up like inside the strange emotional fog where everyone is like polite while quietly avoiding the reality of their lives. And I understand families are complicated. Religion is complicated. People are afraid of saying the wrong thing. I also know some Christians listening to this hold theological beliefs about sexuality that are deeply important to them. So let me be clear. This is not a doctrinal argument, and this is not a demand for agreement. This is pointing towards a question of, what do you want in your life with your queer loved one? Because many queer people are not asking whether you have solved every theological question. They're asking whether there is room for them to exist honestly in the family, without becoming a source of chronic discomfort. And silence does not feel neutral to the queer person who's experiencing the silence. You may think, we're avoiding conflict. Meanwhile, your queer relative may hear, a core part of your life makes us uncomfortable. And that egg accumulates, especially for the queer kid who has spent years trying to be lovable enough to compensate for everyone else's discomfort. People can hold their beliefs and still choose how they treat someone. That distinction matters to me. And I want to say something here, especially to evangelical Christian families. Your queer relative should not have to become the full-time customer service representative for their own humanity. Do some learning. I promise your queer relative does not want to be your emotional tour guide. Read a book. Listen to queer adults. Read PFLAG materials. If you don't know what PFLAG is, Google it. PFLAG. There's entire corners of the internet where people have already explained this, often with receipts, humor, and a whole lot better lighting than this video has. So sit with discomfort without demanding that your gay son or queer niece or whoever has to like walk you through every emotional step and explain everything to you. Like, good Lord. Because straight family members are rarely expected to submit a dissertation about why they deserve warmth and curiosity or inclusion. Straight people are never asked to submit a PowerPoint presentation entitled, Why I'm Allowed to Be Invited to Thanksgiving Without Conditions. A lot of queer people are asking for painfully ordinary things, like painfully ordinary. Remember their partner's name, invite both of them, put them in the family photo without making it weird. Ask about their life the same way you would ask about anybody else's. Celebrate their milestones. Speak about their future like you believe they deserve one. Let me say this very clearly. Speak about their future like you believe they deserve one. I'm going to say this once more, slowly, for the people in the back. Speak about their future like you believe they deserve one. Not your version of their future, theirs. Because many queer people grow up receiving a very specific message. We love you, but this part of you will always sit outside of this circle. And people can feel the difference between being tolerated and being embraced. And when families don't make that space, queer people build community elsewhere, sometimes beautifully, sometimes painfully. For me, that started looking like chosen family, Friendsgiving, holiday dinners with friends, long conversations around folding tables about how we're going to fit everybody here. You know, cheap wine, chaotic side dishes, emotionally intelligent weirdos. Honestly, some of the warmest holidays in my life have happened in rooms full of simply people who knew how to ask follow-up questions without acting like love is like some sort of a theological emergency. There's still grief in this, though. Chosen family is beautiful, and also there are moments where you wish your original family had stretched a little further to hold you to. Both things can be true. One thing I think families may not realize is that how lonely it can feel when nobody imagines your future with you out loud. Your straight siblings get their weddings discussed. Meanwhile, your future is treated like it might like activate a fire alarm if mentioned. You know, grandkids get discussed, anniversaries get discussed. Meanwhile, your future becomes the polite blank space. Everyone keeps stepping around. And maybe no one intends harm in this. But silence still communicates things. It says, we do not quite know what to do with this part of your life. So, if you are listening to this and you have a queer person in your family, here's my challenge to you. Do not wait for them to teach you how to love them well. Do your own learning, and maybe stop assuming your gay relative is going to gently walk you through your entire spiritual curriculum like a part-time therapist with holiday availability. Pay attention. Be curious. Make room naturally. Speak about their life with warmth, without hesitation. And if they bring someone that they love into the family someday, welcome them. Like they belong there. Not as a tolerated guest, not as the situation, not as the person that everybody avoids mentioning at prayer time, as family. Because being invited is not always the same thing as being included. And for a lot of queer people, that difference becomes a whole story. So yeah. Do you want the queer person, the queer loved one that is in your life, do you want them to be a part of your life going forward in time? And do you want to be a part of their life? I'm Paul Krim, and this is Soft Weird. Smooches.